Welcome to Folkcast 050. It's March 2010. Hello. Hi. Yes, it's me again. It's Phil Widows here, hosting edition 50, amazingly, of the UK's premier podcast featuring folk rock, singer-songwriter and roots-based music. Yes, 50 shows. Who'd have thought it, eh? 4 and a bit years ago when we started this. And I was doing a bit of totting up the other day, and they're now getting on for 3 solid days worth of listening of Folkcast for you to jam into your ear hole. Just go to the archive on the website and you should be able to access, well, at least most of it. And I'm working towards getting all the old shows back up and available for download. Well, this month, well, let's not dwell on it being number 50. Let's just get on with the show. Usual recipe for success, really. Great music from the worlds of folk rock, singer-songwriter, and our roots-based music, plus a couple of our regular features. Another tale from our folklore expert, that's Dave the Rhymer Alton, who will be telling us a little about the original Sith. Oh, George Lucas, is there anything you didn't steal? And there'll also be another story behind the song with our folk historian Baba poking around in the backyard of another traditional tune, revealing the secrets that he can find therein. And this month, to be honest with you, it's left him feeling rather groggy. But let's start with the first tune, and this is a British four-piece that revels in the name of the Rowan Amber Mill. And the tune they're going to play is called The Paper Owl and Golden Hair.
Soul with nowhere left to roam. Golden hair shines silver in the light. The owl that flies is just paper in empty lines. The summer holds and breathes into life. Behind the book and the painter's knife, the waves that crawl to his page in time. Tills the field, the blackbirds are most pleased, bringing you a story to the bone. When she comes to call, the rowan tree has blown, calling for the wooden evening sun. The owl that flies is just paper in empty lines. And breathes into life. Behind the leaves, the book
Thank you. the dead, all stand in line. Hitch up your skirts for the boys to be men. We'll all do our bit and then start over. She's worn out and bent. The day like a wild thing demented. The day like a wild thing demented.
Well, then, of course, stars all over again. That was Belinda O'Hooley and Heidi Tiddo, a new duo with a new debut album. That album is called Silent June and is available now on the No Masters label. And Belinda and Heidi are both based in Huddersfield, where they recorded that album, which was mixed and mastered by Neil Ferguson of the band Chumbawamba, more of whom later. Now, if you think you recognise the stark, haunting piano on that song, maybe you do. Maybe you have an album called The Bairns in your collection by Rachel Unthank and The Winterset. If you do, that's the piano, and Belinda was the person playing it. She's now teamed up with songwriter Heidi in a duo which has been described as Joe Brand meets Laurel and Hardy, which is frankly a frightening prospect to me, but the songs aren't frightening, they're pretty good, I think. Before that, rather differently, it was an instrumental from a Chester-based music maker and one-man band who delights in the name of The Naughty Step. No, that's not his real name. That's a stage name, obviously. We don't know his real name, but he lives in the Chester area where he looks up into the sky and he sees a very unusual-looking aircraft called the Beluga, named after the beluga whale. It's a large, bulbous transporter aircraft which carries around bits of other aircraft, wings specifically, for the Airbus, which is partly made in the northwest of England, of course. And the tune was inspired by that unusual sight. I'll dedicate that to my old mate 007, Mike, who knows all about aircraft and things, much to his own detriment. Very often gets himself into terrible scrapes. Anyway, let's move on. More music, please. Now, this isn't a traditional song, although it may very well be one day. It was written by the godfather of the modern folk revival. That's Ewan McColl. It's called The Shoals of Herring, and it's produced here by Scottish band Breibach.
It was on a fine and a pleasant day. Out of Yarmouth Harbour I was faring, as a cabin boy on a sailing lugger, for to go and hunt the shoals o' herring. The work was hard and the hours were long, and the treatment surely took some bearing. There was little kindness and the kicks were many, as we hunted for the shoals o' herring. We fished the swarth and the broken bank. I was cook and I had a quarter sharing, and I used to sleep standing on my feet, and I dream about the shoals o' herring. We left our home grounds in the month of June, and for canny shields we soon were faring, with 100 cran, oh, the silver darlings that we'd taken from the shoals o' herring. On deck, you're a fisherman. You can swear and show a manly bearing. Take your turn and watch with the other fellows, as you're searching for the shoals o' herring. Through the stormy seas and the living gales, just to earn your daily bread, you're daring. From the Dover Straits to the Faroe Islands, you've been following the shoals o' herring. I've earned my keep and I've paid my way, and I've even earned the gear I'm wearing. I've sailed 1,000,000 miles, caught 10,000,000 fishes. I've been sailing after shoals o' herring.
Complain. Friends out of blame, fickle faith, cynics that see that the children are cursed, cursed to believe.
Doesn't know what happened. then remember it wasn't a dream. Settle down, I'll tuck you in. That's all I can do for now. I'll turn. They don't know what really happened today. They haven't been at your bedside, stroking your face. They haven't been there with you, squeezing their hand. They didn't wake up forgetting, for a second feel fine. They don't know.
Me in Bits. That has got to be one of the most emotionally affecting songs I have ever heard. Starkly beautiful and very sad tune indeed. And that was sent to us by the artist involved, Rebecca Blackman. Thank you, Rebecca. The song is called Today, and I really am in bits after that. The song is called Today, and you can find out more about it at Rebecca's CD Baby site. There'll be a link in our show notes, of course. It's www.folkcast.co.uk. And you can also buy the song via iTunes, Napster, and similar download sites. And Rebecca tells us that she's working on new material and is also performing as part of a folk duo called Arnwin. And you can also check out a MySpace page and find more music there too. But that was an absolutely astonishing piece of music, and I'm delighted to have shared it with everybody here at Folkcast. Right, before that, we had a song called Cur in the Weeds from Oregon-based four-piece folk rock band Horse Feathers. That was from their 2008 album, A House With No Name. The band has got a new album in the can, and they'll be on tour throughout March, April and May right across the United States. Check out their website for full details of all those dates. And we started off that trio song with Shoals of Herring. That was from Braybach, from their brand new album, The Desperate Battle of the Birds. And you'll be able to see Braybach at various festivals around the country, around this country, the United Kingdom, in the summer, including Fairport's Cropperty Festival. They'll be joining the likes of folk bands such as Status Quo, and of course Fairport themselves in August. Now then, it's March, and right in the middle of the month is St. Patrick's Day, the perfect excuse to nip over the Irish Sea and treat ourselves to some folklore and some folk music from Ireland. Just one note, the Sith in Ireland is another name for the fairy folk. Take it away, Dave.
The Enchanting of Killeen by Dave Alton. Young Colleen of the Emerald Isle, was home alone and asleep, when cautiously through her dark bedroom the Sith did quietly creep. Her skin was pale as soft fallen snow, her hair all of a billow was fiery as a winter sunset spilling across her pillow. The Queen of the Sith had decided Colleen would be her handmaid. To this end, intricate spells were cast on the lass where she was laid. They wrapped her in her own bed linen, but even if she'd woken, none would have heard her cries for help with her being so softly spoken. Swaddled as she was and hard asleep, they carried her out from there. With graceful ease they rose from the ground and flew with her through the air. Once they had carried Colleen across a loch or flowing water, she was lost to the world forever, the Sith's adopted daughter. But just before they could get so far, as they flew out from the town, there came the voice of one who loved her. In the Lord's name, set her down! The Sith are mighty powerful, and fear nothing in the land. Yet, as much as they may wish, they can't disobey the Lord's command. So they set her on the grassy bank, but before they flew away, as one voice they cried aloud and said, we'll return for her one day, one day, one day, one day, one day. So to her home Colleen was restored, though to her own self not quite. She became a rather restless soul and settled after that night. Fearing the Sith really would return, she was never left unseen. Many eyes watched the flame-haired lassie, the pale-skinned, quiet-tongued Colleen. Then came the night, a fierce storm raged, and many went to turn the flood. But when the danger had passed, they found Colleen gone, and gone for good. Some say she simply ran away or was lost in the flood water. Others said the Sith took their flame-haired, quiet-tongued, and pale-skinned daughter. Wherever it was she was taken, never again was she seen. If it is true the Sith took her then, what fate awaited Colleen? Thank you.
garden grew plenty of time. It would flourish by night and by day, till along came a lad, and he took all I had, stole all my time away. Stole all my time away. And I was a damsel fair, but fairer I wish to appear. So I bathed me in milk, and I clothed me in silk. I put the sweet thyme in my hair. I put the sweet thyme in my hair. In June the red roses in bloom. It was not the flower for me, for I plucked the bud, and it pricked me to blood as I gazed on the willow tree. I gazed on the willow tree.
Who's the maid with the nut brown hair? Oh, he smiled at me traveled a bit, but have never been hit since my roving career began. But fair and square, I surrendered there to the charms of young Rosie McCann. With a heart to let and no tenant yet, did I meet with Shalorgan. But in she went, and I asked no rent of the star of the county down. I'm from Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, I'm from Galway to Dublin town. No maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down. At the harvest fair she'll be surely there, so I'll dress in my Sunday clothes. But my shoes shone bright and my hat cocked right for a smile from my nip brown rose. No pipe I'll smoke, no horse I'll yoke, though my plough with westerns brown. Till the smiling bride by my own fireside is the star of the county down. I'm from Bantry Bay up to Derry Kay, I'm from Galway to Dublin town. No maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down.
The Star of the County Down, a fine old Irish tune, given a bit of a dub reggae remix there by our brand new MySpace friends. That's Tina McKevitt and Matt Hegarty. Thanks, Tina and Matt, for sending that MP3 along to us. A fine treatment and something a little bit different. And, well, after last month's show, where we played some folk rap from a band called Bombadil, one listener got in touch to tell us that he almost threw his iPod down the street in disgust, declaring a total dislike for all things rap. Well, I think every musical genre has something good to say about it, and, the folk world is pretty accepting of reggae in all its forms, so hopefully no damage to the music-playing hardware has occurred after Tina and Matt's take on The Star of the County Down. And before that, it was an old friend of the show, Sarah McQuaid, who was singing Sprig of Time, which came from her album from a few years ago now, When Two Lovers Meet. Sarah, who's based down in Cornwall, has got a new album on the boil, as it were, which is coming out very soon. And also she's got an incredible string of live dates coming up, both in Britain and in America. So follow the link from our show notes, and if you're in the UK or in Ireland or in the United States, all the details of Sarah's gigs, where you can find her playing live, will be found there. And, from Ireland, let's continue around the world. In fact, around the world in 80 folks. About time we revisited this little feature of the show, where we take in folk music from around the world where English isn't the main language. Something a little bit different this month, though. We're going to go to Japan, courtesy of Tomoko Sugawara, who has revived an ethereal 4,000-year-old instrument, the kugo, or angular harp. The kugo first appeared around 2000 BC and flourished along silk trade routes and in the Near East until the late 17th century. And then it was overtaken by the frame harp, the kind of harp that everybody really recognises now. Playing a reconstruction based on a 6th-century illustration, Tomoko juxtaposes ancient and modern compositions from Spain and the Near and Far East to astonishing effect on her new album, Along the Silk Road. And from that album, here's a track which is simply titled, You Tell Me. It's spelt Q-A-W-L. Is it called Call, Qual, Quail?
Hiding in here, pictures from Bedford taken half a blue moon ago. My, we were young then, all mixtapes and Alco Pops, bum bags, shell suits, and meatloaf CDs. Did I really dress like that and dance to that tune? Then stumble home drunk by the light of the moon. I guess times they change, and the change times they guess. nonsense, it still has a welcoming ring. My Weezer CDs, well, they hardly get played. My obsession with Arnie DeFranco has ended. You might ask, is anything certain these days? I would probably tell you that I love Leonard Cohen. A snail carries with him some slime in a shell. I've got 10 boxes plus cartons, as well as these books, bags in a chest my grandfather used in the war. Did I really write those words, and did she write back? Stray hands in Roji all through that James Bond film. Nonsense, it still has a welcoming ring. And heroes, they never come easy. My Weezer CDs, well, they hardly get played. My obsession with Jeff Buckley has all but ended. You might ask, is anything certain these days? I would probably tell you that I love Leonard Cohen. Dress like that and dance to that tune, then stumble home drunk by the light of the moon. I guess times they change, and the change times they guess. Nonsense, it still has a welcoming ring. My Weezer CDs, well, they hardly get played. My obsession with REM has all but ended. You might ask, is anything certain these days? I would probably tell you that I love Leonard Cohen. I love Leonard Cohen. I love Leonard Cohen. I love Leonard Cohen. We love Leonard Cohen. We love Leonard Cohen. We love Leonard Cohen. We love Leonard Cohen.
Ah, but it's an unrequited love, isn't it? Does he write? Does he call? Does he answer our emails? Not since the court injunction, certainly. Anyway, that, my friends, was a song, guess what it was called? It was called I Love Leonard Cohen, and it comes from a brand new album by Robin Gray called Strangers With Shoes, and we found that on the rather jolly Jamendo website. And before that, another old friend, if I can use that ageist term, old friend of the show, Lisa Redford, and you may remember if you're a long-term listener to Folkcast, she contributed one of three songs that we had in one episode of the show, all titled Dragonfly, and that was a new one from her, and it's called Here Alone. Now, speaking of Leonard Cohen, we know somebody who'd met Laughing Len before Leonard even encountered Suzanne, before he'd shot the bird on the wire, before he'd even bought the famous blue overcoat. Yes, it's Baba, friend of the stars. It's time to unleash our folk historian on another story behind another song. And this month, I fear he may have been getting into the rum ration.
Hello, Baba here with another story behind the song. Now, there's some themes in traditional folk music that crop up time and again, and one of them is the consumption of alcohol. Yet, I'm somewhat surprised to find that, with the exception of John Barleycorn, it's a subject I've hardly touched. By the way, if you want to hear the real truth behind John Barleycorn, download Folkcast from September 2007. A few weeks ago, I was listening to a singer introducing that fine song, Here's to the Grog, and explaining that grog was the name that sailors gave to rum. Well, she was nearly right, and it's an easy mistake to make, because grog was actually what sailors called the beverage that they were given during what was called the rum ration, but it wasn't pure rum. Let me explain. Hard-working sailors needed quite a lot to drink, and they were originally given a gallon of water a day. Well, this presented quite a problem, because all that water needed to be stored somewhere. And what's more, after a very short time, the water would develop algae, and it would taste pretty nasty. Beer or wine was often added to disguise the slimy taste, but apart from the fact that needed to be stored too, didn't really work. Longer voyages required stops to take on more water, and as I say, the whole affair was something of a problem. Now, in 1655, Britain conquered Jamaica, and huge amounts of rum became available to the Navy. Over the next few years, the water ration was cut to be replaced with a half a pint of rum diluted with 2 pints of water. Now, remember, we're probably talking about cask-strength rum here. Most spirits these days are watered down to around 37 to 40% pure alcohol. Cask-strength spirits are around 60% pure alcohol. So think of it as rum with about 3 parts of water added to it. This ration of 2 pints was issued in 2 halves, one at noon and the other at the end of the working day. By all accounts, though, the rum didn't improve the water all that much. And so, in 1740, Admiral Edward Vernon ordered that the ships in his fleet should add lime or lemon juice to the ration to make a more palatable drink. Well, this was a very happy accident, as all his sailors suddenly became much healthier than those in the other fleets, and nobody knew why. It was 7 years later when James Lind traced a link between citrus juice and the prevention of scurvy at sea, which was a potentially deadly disease that sailors on long voyages often suffered from, and it was caused by a lack of vitamin C. And I must tell you, I was rather amused when researching for the various cures for scurvy that occurred on land to find a recipe for its prevention dating from 1707 that recommended boiling up various herbs and other plants to extract their goodness and mixing the extract with orange juice. Everyone thought that the herbs were the cure. It was Admiral Vernon's concoction, though, of rum, water, and lime or lemon juice that became the standard issue in the Royal Navy. And it was this cocktail that was affectionately known as grog, a name that comes to us from Vernon's nickname of Old Grogram, due to his unfailing habit of wearing a cloak made of grogram. Yes, you don't see much grogram these days, do you? But it's a cloth made from silk and either wool or mohair that has been stiffened with gum, which also makes it waterproof. Oh, I've got a lot more to tell you about the rum ration, but it's time for that song, I think. Here's Rachel and John Bowyer, and here's to the grog.
I've got a coat and a knobby, knobby coat. I've got a coat, I've seen a lot of rough weather. For the sides are near wore out, and the back is flying about, and the lining's looking out for better weather. Here's to the grog, boys, the jolly, jolly grog. Here's to the rum and tobacco. I've spent all my tin with the lasses drinking gin, and to cross the briny ocean I must wander. Me breeches, me knobby, knobby breeches. I've got breeches, I've seen a lot of rough weather. For the pouch is near wore out, and the seat's all flying about, and me knees are looking out for better weather. Here's to the grog, boys, the jolly, jolly grog. Thank you.
Recommend that you splice the main brace and enjoy a measure of grog. Ah, yes, the order to splice the main brace was much welcomed by sailors because it meant an extra half ration of grog. It was used as a reward for particularly hard work or as a celebration of a battle won, or on ceremonial occasions like Trafalgar Day. The main brace was the largest and the heaviest of all the rigging ropes. It was fully 5 inches in diameter. And splicing it, in other words, joining the two ends together after the rope had snapped in heavy weather or had been shot away by enemy action, was probably the most difficult and wearying task that a sailor might undertake, especially if the ship was underway in a storm or if it was in the middle of a battle. Now, you might think that giving a couple of pints of grog to men who were working with heavy equipment or at heights was potentially rather dangerous. Well, it could have been, but remember that being drunk on your watch was a very serious matter, warranting 24 strokes of the cat o' nine tails for the first offence. So, people tended to be a little bit careful about where they drank their grog. During the first half of the 19th century, though, the temperance movement began to gain ground, and the Navy was petitioned to make different arrangements for those men who preferred not to drink the grog. Such men were allowed to have lemonade instead, and they were also given a small extra payment. Grog, by the way, was used as a currency between sailors. A little favour might be negotiated with a promise of sippers, a sip of another man's grog. A larger favour might be negotiated with gulpers, one big gulp of the grog. And a huge favour could be negotiated with a tot, in other words, the total of a half ration, a full pint of grog. Well, attitudes to drinking on board gradually changed, and the rum ration was halved in 1850 to just one pint, issued twice a day. As the complexities of life on board a Navy ship grew during the 20th century, more people questioned the wisdom of giving each man a pint of grog a day, and the practice was discontinued on July the 31st, 1970, a date known in naval circles as Black Tot Day. So, here's to the grog. If you want to make some, the last recipe used by the Royal Navy was rum of 48% alcohol by volume, mixed with 4 parts of water, with a squeeze of lemon or lime juice and a little cinnamon. The traditional call to muster for grog was up spirits, which makes for a good toast these days. Oh, and don't forget too that as there's no rum ration today, you're technically having an extra rum ration. In other words, you're splicing the main brace. And if you're on your boat, you really should hoist the correct signal to indicate splicing the main brace. It's Bravo X-ray. Well, next month I'll be picking up a thread I left hanging when telling the story of Dick Turpin last November. You might remember that Turpin's body was stolen by grave robbers, and I said that there was a tale to be told of that grim profession. Well, my pal Chuck Houston just sent me one of his songs called The Resurrection Men just the other day, and that's all the excuse I need. So I'll see you then. But meanwhile, fare thee well.
Thanks, shipmates. Now, listeners, if you enjoyed John and Rich's version of Here's to the Grog, how about another round? This time with barley juice.
The lassies drinking gin, far across the Western Ocean I must wander. And where are me boots, me noggin, noggin boots? All gone for beer and tobacco, for the soles are worn out and the heels are kicked about, and the toes are looking out for better wear. And it's all for me grog, me jolly, jolly grog. All for me beer and tobacco. For I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Far across the Western Ocean I must wander. And where is me short, me noggin, noggin short? All gone for beer and tobacco. For the coverlet is worn and the sleeves are ripped and torn, and the tail is looking out for better weather. And it's all for me grog, me jolly, jolly grog. All for me beer and tobacco. For I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Out across the Western Ocean I must wander. And I haven't been to bed since first I come ashore with me plunder. I've seen centipedes and snakes, and I'm filled with pains and aches. Far across the Western Ocean I must wander. And it's all for me grog, me jolly, jolly grog. All for me beer and tobacco. For I spent all me tin on the lassies drinking gin. Far across the Western Ocean I must wander. And it's all
you may well laugh, because that's almost the end for another edition of Folkcast. Irish band Barley Juice there, with a rather more rumbustuous take on the traditional British folk song All For Me Grog than we heard from our own Rich and John earlier, but I hope you enjoyed both of them just as well. Barley Juice's version comes from their 2004 album, The Claymore Sessions. Thanks to everyone who contributed music and things to this month's show, which was the 50th monthly edition of Folkcast. Here's to the next 50! Well, keep our finger in your ear, and we'll see what we can do. Remember to check out the show notes at folkcast.co.uk for full details of all the music we've played this month. And that's also the address where you'll find ways of getting involved with the show. You can email us, read the Folkcast blog, join us as a friend on MySpace or Facebook, and even follow the brand new Folkcast Twitter feed. Oh, well, it's right high tech, you know. Oh, and I'll be back next month with more top stuff from the worlds of folk rock, singer-songwriter, and roots-based music. And I'll leave you this time with a song that celebrates song. This is from ABCDEFG, the brand new album from Anarcho Funsters Chumbawamba, and it's called Voices, That's All. So until the next time you pop our finger into your ear, this is Phil Widows urging you to stay focused on Folkcast and bidding you bye bye.
Sometimes a melody is louder than a shout.
Everyone sang.
Somebody struck up a song. We didn't know the words, but still we sang along.
Just our voices, that's all. Everywhere a concert hall. Voices, that's all. Lullaby and call.
Chucking out time at the bar on the corner.
Everyone sang.
From the Albion tap room to California.
Everyone sang.
In the olden days before they put in a jukebox.
Everyone sang.
Please to put a penny in the old man's voice box.
Everyone sang.
Somebody struck up a song. We didn't know the words, but still we sang along.
Just our voices, that's all. Everywhere a concert hall. Voices, that's all. Lullaby and call.
In the middle of a demonstration.
Everyone sang.
All power to imagination.
Everyone sang.
Your song, it sounds a whole lot better.
Everyone sang.
When everyone sings that song together.
Everyone sang.
Somebody struck up a song. We didn't know the words, but still we sang along.
Just our voices, that's all. Everywhere a concert hall. Voices, that's all. Lullaby and call. Just our voices, that's all. Everywhere a concert hall. Voices, that's all. Lullaby and call. Just our voices, that's all.
If you've enjoyed listening to Folkcast, you can help us to bring you more of the best in folk, folk rock, singer-songwriter and roots-based music by sending some money our way. The Begging Bowl on the front page of our website, folkcast.co.uk, takes donations via PayPal. Or, if you're in the UK, just send us an email for details of how to donate by cheque. And here's a big thank you to those listeners who have made generous donations in the past. Cheers!